morning, everyone. Good to be here in the house of God again. Just continue to pray. I don't know. My emotions were kind of riding on me there as Derek was sharing. I guess it just brought back some memories of his story and just the type of person I am. I kind of wear my feelings, so hopefully I can keep it together this morning as I go through the message. But I too would like to extend God's blessings to all fathers here. Being a father is not only a blessing, it's a privilege. And I know that not everyone has this privilege to be a father. And possibly there are some that would desire to be one but have never been given that opportunity. And in that, I understand there'd be some things that you wouldn't totally comprehend or understand from a father's perspective. But at the same place, when I think of a father and the role of the father, and as I go through the message this morning, it's going to be much more than an earthly father. And my message is more so based on our Heavenly Father. So give me a little bit of time, but as we go through here, I had to think, though, that being a father for 33 years myself, I think of and probably appreciate and am more grateful for my own earthly father, who's not with us anymore, than I was at a time. And I guess that's what life of experience does. And you realize that, you know, long and short of it, we're all made of the same stuff. And I know my dad did the best he could in how he understood and to raise his children. And in fact, on my wedding day, he encouraged me to drop where he failed and improve there. And that's been my desire, too, to pass that on to my children, as where I failed, that they move on and improve. And when we really stop and think of it, as long as the world has stood, and if that at all take its course, we should have a pretty good world by now. But unfortunately, this enemy's busy and gets in the way many times. Another thing I would like to say is, maybe as a father, you may think of the times you did fail or you did make mistakes. You know, you need to, yes, repent, make things right where you can, but there's a time you have to move on and accept the fact and do what you can from here. I was just reminded of that personally recently. Since we moved, I don't know, in the last year or two, I had went through a box of cards, and in there was a little Father's Day gift certificate package sent or given to me by one of my boys. And I went through it, and I noticed I didn't get them all accomplished. That's been really hard on me. I wish I could turn the clock back. But you got to move on. And appreciate the fact that our Heavenly Father does understand our shortcomings. And we will. You will. All fathers will fail. Admit it and move on. Mind the Holy Spirit. Continue to be the best you can through Christ. Unfortunately, not everyone has had a father, or maybe even has a father, that can be given, at this point even, the benefit of the doubt. And I do feel for you. But every one of us here can claim that perfect Father that we know as our Heavenly Father. And from that Heavenly Father, claim the power of His love. I've titled my message this morning, A Father's Love. The song here that I've really appreciated the words, it's not a Christian song, but bear with me and try and listen in. I'm sure some of you have heard it. It was written by Aaron Baker, sung by many country music artists. A father's love, a love without end, amen. I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules, and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told the story just like I'd rehearsed, then stood there on those trembling knees and waited for the worst. He said, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret," my daddy said, "was just between us." He said, "Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's love without end. Amen." When I became a father in the spring of 81, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. And when I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and passed it on to him. Last night I dreamed I died and stood outside the pearly gates, when suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they now know half the things I've done, they'll never let me in. Then somewhere from the other side, I heard those words again. They said, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children now and ever, every now and then. It's love without end. Amen. It's love without end. Amen." Very familiar portion of Scripture. Everyone has heard it many times, and many messages have been preached from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, the story of the prodigal son. But we'd like to focus on the father this time, rather on the sons as such, even though it will come out as we go through the message. There's three traits of the father's heart that stick out to me in this portion of Scripture. The first one is his incomparable love, or maybe you could say beyond comparison. Nothing you can compare to the love of our Heavenly Father. And then number two, the inexplicable acceptance, or the unexplainable acceptance of the Father to us. And then the third one, the indescribable forgiveness, too great for description. I'll read the first few verses there, 11 to 20 in Luke 15. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a different distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out to go back to my father and to say to the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, and make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. There are four things here that stick out here from God's heart. Try and personalize them as we go through here, and how you can apply them to yourself when you think of just simply doing life and not necessarily as a father, but in connecting and relating in life. First of all, he was looking for him. He had vigilance. It was there in his heart. He had him in his mind. But the thing that I find interesting, that God didn't, or the father here didn't go running after his son, but he was on his mind. He was very much on his mind as he went through his daily duties. I'm convinced he couldn't hardly stop thinking of him, and probably doesn't say, but probably was praying without ceasing, continuously a part of his life as he thought of his son that had left. Also notice how the father gave him his choice. You know, he gave him everything he wanted from, he didn't hold it back from him. He allowed him to be the creature of choice that we know God the Father created us to be. He allowed him to freely make those choices, and he didn't force him out of that. But yet at the same time, he longed for his son to come back. To come back and be a part of his life. There was a desire there. It was earnest. His attitude was just a magnet of drawing card, as we think of it, as he thought of the son. It was constantly on his mind. It actually reminds me much of my own dad when my youngest brother kind of had a similar life. And oh, he was always on his heart. Always on his mind. Almost every time we went to visit Dad, you know, he'd talk about it, and even on his deathbed, it was his biggest burden. And praise the Lord, Dad's prayers were answered after he passed. But anyway, it reminds me of a love so great and so powerful that it's almost like a drawing magnet, that kind of a love. And we know as human beings, we personally can't even get close to it, but we can appreciate it and honor that love as we think of it from our Heavenly Father. A look of unknown. I can just about imagine the father just looking down the road, constantly checking, seeing if his son is returning. Just possibly. Is there a possibility of him coming back? And who knows how long this may have been, but the lesson gives us that it seemed like there was no giving up. There was a hope. There was a feeling in there that it will happen. And I guess to me, it's kind of an encouragement when I think of people that are lost or have walked away from God, that we never, ever not give it the benefit of the doubt that the power of God can draw them back to the kingdom. So there was earnestness as he looked and he watched, knowing it is ultimately the son's choice. He has given us the choice. He has given you the choice. He allows us to make those choices. He desires us, but he gives us that choice. And then the second part was the son was always on his father's heart. Like I mentioned, compassion, the heavy heart that he had, constantly on his mind. Just almost probably a joy robber. And it's probably something we got to be careful of, that we don't allow that to happen, that we lose our joy when we are have those kind of passions on our heart. At the same time, always having that hope that he would come home. You know, it probably at times weighed him down to the point of not much, getting much else accomplished. Just that feeling. Some of you can probably identify with those feelings as you think of maybe someone in your life that you would so much see come home or come to the Father. Maybe he's never been a part of the kingdom of God, and your heart's desire would be that the person would find Jesus and get to know the Father that you know. Also, he never left his thoughts. He was devoted. He cared immensely. He just, like I mentioned, had him continually pondering in his heart and his mind. And number four, there was nothing, no one more important to him. It was a priority. He had him so dearly on his heart that it was a complete priority. This was his son. And when we think of our Heavenly Father, let's remember that our Heavenly Father is that to all of us and to all people. Our Heavenly Father can do that. The story here is singular, but let's take that and remember that our Heavenly Father has that power and that ability to be everywhere and for everybody with that same drawing card and that same effect as far as the love towards his people. The Father was watching, looking, and gazing. Maybe he had binoculars. I don't know. In the distance, possibly he saw something. Maybe there was a speck. I have a set of binoculars there in our sitting room. I love wildlife and just love if I see a coyote or something. And yeah, if I see something move, I'll check. Father had that kind of a love for his son, his desire to see him. Is there a possibility? Is he coming? He sees something. It is a human, just a speck in the horizon. Sure enough, it's someone. Could it be? Could it be him? Imagine the Father's heart. Could he allow himself to allow hope to filter in? Is it a possibility that it's him? The closer he came, yes, he noticed his walk. Most dads recognize their children's walk. Some of them resemble themselves or the mother. Yes, it does. It looks like him. The closer he came, yes, he definitely knew it had to be him, taking off in a flash, running to meet him. Nothing else mattered. Runs and gives his son a big hug. Like to think it was a great big Jesus hug, just welcoming him. He didn't know where he was at, but he was coming home. God's looking for you. We are always in his heart. There's nothing more important to God the Father. There's nothing more that God the Father enjoys than seeing his people and having a praise offering from Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand and the Holy Spirit connecting back to the Father and talking about his children. God loves it. You know, the Son doesn't receive this love because he deserves it or merits it, nor because of respectful living or honoring his parents or his father. The Father's love is really unmerited. It's undeserved and it's unearned. It's extravagant, it's unconditional, and it's freely given. He just lets it go. That's a test for all of us when we think of that kind of a love. Can we be that non-respecter of persons and love like the Father? I know we only can through Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. And we'll never reach the plateau of our Heavenly Father. But by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can at least reflect it. And people can experience it. I think Derek shared in his testimony of lives that touched him, that spoke to him. A love that connected with the heart. Inexplicable acceptance. In other words, it's unexplainable. Luke 15, 21 to 24. And longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table, even the dogs came and licked his sore. The time came when the beggar died and the angels... Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The son starts in as he comes back with a speech. Probably was preparing it as he walked back. And as the story goes, the father barely listened to the speech. Maybe he didn't even hear what he all had to say. But he didn't let him go far. The compassion in his father's heart and mind was set on a higher plane of compassion. A love to change. A love forever changing that goes beyond even the speech of repentance. Even though it's important. The drawing love of the Father. Take notice of what the father did. The word quick. I've been a bit like Derek too over the years, that quick to fix things, quick this and quick that. Quick to want to do things. There's sometimes we may be quick, and that's sharing our love. The father was quick to respond. He was quick to run for him and give him a hug and call him back to the kingdom. Number two, he honored. Number three, there was restoration. Number four, there was confirmation. There was number five, celebration. So the first one there was quick. There was no hesitation on the part of the father. The father's heart of God is quick to accept and approve. You know, even that small bit of repentance that the father may have heard was enough to allow him in open arms accept him. We know David in Psalm 51 pled with there that he could have a clean heart, oh my God, that he could be washed whiter than snow. God's love accepted that repentance and moved in, as we know David, after God's own heart. Number two is honored. Bring the best robe and put it on him. This was a sign of honor. It showed appreciation and approval. The son is home. Give him the best. Let the people see. You know, sometimes from our background in that, we think they're a little bit reserved. Maybe some of us are a little nervous at our baptisms, but I've been thinking over it a bit, and I think, you know, there's probably no more rejoicing that should be than when we have a conversion. And then the baptism, the celebration should be open, and joy should be revealed, and that honor should be brought on to that person. We should be rejoicing immensely with a converted heart. And then restoration. He put a ring on his finger. The signet ring was for sealing legal documents as such, but basically a stamp of approval. This was a sign of restored authority for his son. A picture of restoration, brought back to the fold, brought back to the home, brought back to the family, restored back to the fullest. When God brings somebody back to the fold, restoration should be granted, and we should accept it as such. Confirmation. They put sandals on his feet. This validated he was not a hired hand or a servant. He was part of them. He was worthy. He was worthy just like everyone else. He didn't have a higher plateau. He didn't have a lower. He was part of God's family like you and I are, with no respecter of persons. And then, of course, the celebration. Bring the fatted calf. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. Meat at this given era was not a part of the daily diet. This was a big deal. They killed the fatted calf. They had the best. Why? Because the son came home. God says, because there is nothing more important in the world to me than my child. He was dead, and now he is alive. The excitement in the kingdom. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than for the 99 that are part. Think for a moment about the power of being loved and accepted by God. To be loved and cared for. To be accepted and not cast out. This is not a story of being rejected by God because he blew it. It is a story of an ever-loving father accepting a fallen son back to the family. Do we have that kind of a love and a desire for the fallen, for the lost? Are we watching? Are we looking for that speck that he'd come home? Indescribable forgiveness. Too great for description. Luke 15 again, 25 to 32. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Maybe a little bunny trail, but I've had to think of that son. And maybe for us in life too, maybe you never have been that prodigal son. Maybe there was never that rejoicing and hollering and excitement because you became a Christian with living such a wayward life. Or maybe you even became a Christian silently. And, you know, you were just natured that way, and maybe there wasn't a lot of noise. Or maybe you became a Christian expecting a lot of noise and nothing happened. The celebration never was there. You never felt it. Or maybe you grew up in a setting more where when you became a Christian, you had to prove yourself. Maybe that's the response you got from your own parents. The Father here is saying, it's yours, regardless of the celebration, all of it. All of it. Just take it and apply it. You become the leader of your celebration. Don't be afraid to testify what the Father has said to you. It's all yours. The power source is there. You've never thrown it away. You've got it. Just take it and use it. The human journey is sadly marked by hurt, disappointment, resentment, unfulfilled expectation. It is, in fact, life. We are in the world. We have the enemy, and we have ourselves to deal with. Jesus shows us in this story and by his life that this is not the way of the Father. Forgiveness is a big deal. To know that our failures are not final or fatal, and that we can be set free from guilt and condemnation, this truly is incredible. Stop for a moment and accept the very fact of this forgiveness. We don't deserve it, absolutely none of it, but it's there, it's free. All we have to do is accept it and believe it. The son in this story did not deserve to be forgiven, but he was. And God, who is rich in mercy, forgives us. We are justified before him and made righteous. He does not hold our sins against us. This is what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. God's forgiveness is full and free. Freely we have received, and freely we are to give it away to others. In all our relationships, it's not always easy, but it is what Christ calls us to. He will give us everything we need to triumph as we seek him, his will in our relationships. Like we noticed, the older brother is miffed or put into ill humor about the celebration. He has lived right, he has worked hard, and his renegade wild brother gets the party. The father explained this to the older brother. Like I mentioned, everything I have is yours. You already are at the top of my priority list. Take it all in. You are mine. Make me yours. In my words, celebrate with me. Rejoice, be glad. He's saved. Your brother was gone, and I thought he was dead. He has come home, and it's time for us to, especially me, to remind him I accept him and I have forgiven him. The father in this story, just like our Heavenly Father, does not miss the opportunity to prove his love, acceptance, and forgiveness. It's genuine, it is joy-filled, and Jesus said, it is meant for you and I. God bless you.